Joey and Tiffany Rozek are here. This is Pastor Joey and his wife, Tiffany Rozek. They came here 10 years ago. They uprooted their family from America and came to England as missionaries. They had no money and didn't know where they were going to live and indeed where they were actually coming to, but they felt that this was God calling them to come and bring fresh teaching and plant a church. At the time, they had two children already. Maddie was 5 and Josiah was 3.5. And Tiffany was in her third trimester, just at the beginning of her third trimester with their third child, Jordan. So good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Louise.
It's really lovely to be joined by you both. And, well, first of all, I suppose, wow, what a faith you have. But first of all, why? Why did you come? And especially at such a crucial time in your lives, you were young parents and of young children, two under 5 and also pregnant with the third. So this was a massive step for you. So what was the was the calling?
Well, calling is the right word because really it was the Lord's stirring of our hearts to come to this land where obviously it has rich Christian heritage and history. But when I would come out here on trips from New Jersey where we were living at the time with young people, I was really just blown away at how many people have not really understood the gospel of Jesus and how many people are not reading the Bible these days and don't know that God wants a personal relationship with us. And, you know, we had been feeling a calling of God to take another step of faith in our lives. We had moved from California to New Jersey and we were wondering what the next steps were. And I couldn't just get out of my mind and heart the need that I was seeing in England for people to come back to an understanding of what the Bible actually teaches and who Jesus really is and how we can have a genuine relationship with the living God. And so we answered God's call. We had churches getting behind us and support. We did have, financial support that was given to us because we couldn't have actually came to England with a Ministry of Religion visa without having support back in the States to at least initially start. And so we took that step together as a family. We didn't know a single person in Cambridge, but we knew God had gone before us. Yeah. And we know the power of God's love and his truth. So it was a joy to be able to just step out in faith and see what God was going to do as we answered the call.
And how did you feel, Tiffany? Because obviously being at the time with two very young children and pregnant at the same time, you really, I guess, had to trust in Joey and also in your own personal faith as well.
But yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're always to look how God has carried us in the past to dictate how he's going to carry us to the future. And I knew absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt that he would be there for us and he would provide for our family and our children. Mm. And he did so. He placed us in a wonderful village. And although it was really unknown and the culture, you know, relatively unknown, it's we may speak the same language. We really don't speak the same language. In so many ways.
Yeah.
But, I was nervous and there was a lot of loneliness that I experienced. I know he experienced that. But in that, God continued to remind us, like, I am your home. Yeah. No matter where you move to, I am your home. Mm-hmm. And so there was great peace in that, even with the children, even with, you know, being pregnant. It was like, how is this baby going to be provided? What's it going to be like having a baby here? You know, all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And God slowly, you know, provided the means for that, you know, in the system, the NHS system and the provision to have children here. And I was really encouraged by that. But yeah, it was a huge step of faith. There's a lot of fear there, but also also the peace that comes with that when you give it over to God.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose one of the questions I have to ask is, well, Cambridge and, you know, Cambridge is typically known for being quite, you know, forward thinking, let's say, in science and the rest of it. So some people would say that Christianity today is not relevant.
Yeah,
you know, there are
changing
attitudes within society. We have scientific advancements. So why do you still feel that Christianity and faith is relevant to us in today's society?
Yeah.
Well, it's completely relevant because with all of the advancements we have in science and all the things we've learned at this stage of life, we still can't answer basic questions of where life actually even came from, how the universe began, what was in the very, very, very beginning. You know, we could say in biology, well, here's what life does as we study it once it's there. But how did it first get there? And we have to remember, Cambridge is also known for great scientists like Isaac Newton and a history of people who were great thinkers who all did their science and research because of their faith in God. People may not know that Isaac Newton wrote more theological works than scientific works. But because they were convinced in the power of a God who would create the universe, in fact, even the word universe, we could think in English as the word una and verse, a single spoken statement, matches very well with the Bible. Many things that we think about in our scientific age, we have to realize, was never divorced from faith. Science and faith always were together. In fact, faith was the basis and premise that people did their science. It's only been in recent times, Louise, where people have tried to pit science and faith against each other. And I think they work harmoniously together. In fact, I know this to be true because as we look at the things in the known world and see it, we discover the information in the DNA inside of a human body is loaded with complex language and sequenced letters, you know, the DNA and the RNA and how we create protein molecules. Well, you can't get that kind of information without an informer. We need someone to communicate that information. To believe in God is logical. It's reasonable. And I think in actuality, you almost have to ask the question, why don't you believe in God? Why is it so hard to believe that there was an intention, a purpose to the universe, to people, to life? And it's that very truth that drives us to help people connect with the living God and to see that you don't have to throw away your intellect. You don't have to step away from science. It'll actually reinforce your science to realize that's how that communication got there. That's how that information, the cells, the DNA, the complexity, beauty, and harmony and design of life, it all comes from a creator who loves us, wanted an incredible world for us to live in. And the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God.
So would you say that it almost takes more faith not to believe than to believe?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because you're basically saying that everything came out of nothing. And if you say, well, no, that's not true. I believe in a universe that was always there. Okay, where did that come from? How did the universe function the way it is? Why is the earth situated by the sun in such a perfect angle and way? And then, of course, the obvious question back to me, and I hear it, you know, regularly is, well, then, Joey, where did God come from? Who made God? Well, I would say, well, if someone did make God, that would be God. See, at some point, you have to go back to a beginning.
Creator.
I believe that instead of it being something, it's a someone. And so if someone's beginning is a something, we have to ask the question, where did life come from a something? How does something non-living produce something living? But if you start with a someone, the living God, you get all the somethings, all the someones, and you get a purpose in life. This is why we're relational beings. God is relational. This is why we care so much about love, why we have a moral construct in life. God is the moral lawgiver. He's the science lawgiver, the laws of nature. And so it's because of these reasons, as Francis Bacon said in Cambridge University, that we've got two laws, the law of nature and we have the law of God. And these are the two books of life that we study. We look at nature, we look at what God's word says. And to me, it all harmonizes. And that to me just brings us right to Jesus is when where God wants to reveal himself because Jesus is God in human form and he makes known to us you know, the greater need in the human heart that we all want to love and be loved.
Well, interestingly enough, actually, Margaret's texted in and she said, I've heard, you know, so this is kind of reflecting what you're saying. I've heard people talk about relationships with Jesus, but what does that actually mean? Tiffany, what would you say in response to that?
Right. So earlier, Joey mentioned the gospel and that he felt, you know, the times that he came here to visit, that there was just a misunderstanding of what the gospel is. And the gospel, in simple terms, is the good news. And the good news is that Jesus, the Son of God, also being the Son of Man, he was 100% God, fully man, come to us in human form, in the form of a baby, which we celebrate at Christmas time. We recognize the nativity. It's in schools. We talk about it at churches. And Jesus simply coming in the form of a human baby, raised in a family, completely perfect, though, in human form, you know, began teaching, we read in the scriptures, at the age of 12 in the temples. And as he grew, people began to notice he's a teacher, you know, and then his ministry, he began healing. He began healing the sick and healing the lame. And he was preaching about the kingdom of God to come and telling people to come and to receive the good news that, that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost.
That's right.
And being lost means that we are sinners. We are sinners that have fallen from the beginning of time when Adam and Eve were placed into the garden. They chose to partake of the forbidden tree that God told them, have everything you want. in this garden, not that tree.
Mm. Yeah.
For surely your eyes will be opened.
Which demonstrates the free will, doesn't it?
Yes.
So bringing it back to Cambridge then, the church, how did that start? How did you get your church started? Because not knowing anybody, you know, how did you start to network and actually build a church?
Well, just building from what Tiffany was saying too about the life of Jesus, you know, eventually, remember, we have to remember Jesus was born to die. And when he went to the cross, he was crucified, and then he rose again on the third day. And that's what we're celebrating in Easter coming up just around the corner here. Right. But because God lives, Louise, because there's a living relationship that can be had with him, we realized that, you know, coming here to Cambridge, not knowing anybody, we were going to have to build relationships ourselves. And because we believe so strongly in the power of God, because we know how he's changed our lives, we know how he's answered prayers, how he fulfilled over 300 predictions, prophecies spoken of in the Bible. Right. This Sunday's Palm Sunday, as prophesied in Zechariah 9:9, that the Messiah would come riding in on a donkey, lowly in Jerusalem. Well, we had to come to our city, Cambridge here, with a humble heart. We didn't expect that we're going to change the city upside down, or we knew there were plenty of other churches here, a rich history in Cambridge for the Christian Reformation. This is 500 years of the Protestant Reformation right here as an epicenter in Cambridge. So we just started talking to people in the grocery store and coffee shops. We invited people over to our house for a Bible study, and it grew out of that. Our Bible study in our home went on for a year, and then we moved to a community center. And we began to see more and more people coming together hungry to actually hear what the Bible has to say. People don't need my opinion or Tiffany's opinion. Yeah, they need to know what God actually says in his word, which is living and powerful.
Let's look at the life of Jesus.
Mm. That's right.
Not the life of some...
So where are you located now?
So we meet every Sunday on the grounds of the Cambridge University Press in a building called the Cass Center at 10 a.m. And we have a very multicultural church, people from all different countries and backgrounds of all ages, young and old, families. And it's a wonderful family. The thing that is so beautiful about God is there's such a need in the human heart for hope. There's such a need in the human heart for healing and for forgiveness and learning how to cope with things in life. As Tiffany was saying before, you know, starting from the beginning, the problems in our world today is not the result of a God against humanity. It was actually the result of a humanity that went against God. Mm. We went against God's will. We all broke those commandments. But isn't it amazing that God would love us so much, he would enter the world and the mess that we find ourselves in? If every day we look at the newspapers and read the hurt that's in our world, the catastrophes, the terror, the destruction that's happening, broken families, wounded lives, and we discover that the world today is still searching for answers. And we believe the Bible has those answers. We believe Jesus is the hope of the nations, the way, the truth, the life. He's good. He's knowable. And to answer that question, Louise, about a relationship with God, I mean, I read the Bible, I pray, I talk with the Lord, and we see how he speaks and guides us in so many different ways through people. The Word of God is so relevant today. If people would actually read the Bible for themselves, they might actually discover that a lot of the questions they have are answered there. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about God today. Mm. I think many people have had wrong ideas about religion. We don't consider ourselves to be religious people. Mm. We don't want you to turn to religion. It's not come to this church and you'll be changed. It's come to Jesus. Mm. And we believe that the difference is religion is man's effort to try to reach God. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is God's effort to reach man. Mm. He comes to us. He dies in our place. Yeah. He absorbs our pain. He sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. And then he rises again 3 days later, and he lives in the lives of people. That's why Christianity is still going 2,000 years later. People have been transformed by his life, his message, his love, his truth. And that's what we're here to help people connect with.
But talking about being guided, you've been here for 10 years.
10 plus
but
years.
You now feel like you're being called back to the States. So in many ways, you know, it's kind of the role reverse. Yeah. You're now sacrificing this part of your life.
Yeah.
After 10 years. So how is that going to be? And also, I guess the question is, what's going to happen to the church after you leave? The church that you've planted and kind of led from the beginning. What's going to happen?
Well, one thing I'll say first, and Tiffany, feel free to jump in with this, but, you know, Jesus, before he left the earth, after he rose again, he gave the Great Commission, which was to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. Our church was founded with the clear principle of wanting to see authentic followers of Jesus, not religious people, not people who just attend a church service, but people who really connect with God, learn his word, and walk in his ways. Well, since doing that, We've been able to minister to many people over the years, invest in many lives, but we've been able to see a leadership raised up. It's great to see the English pastors that we've raised up in our church, mm-hmm. and we're going to be handing things over to them. And what a wonderful thing to know as an American coming here back to a country that mm-hmm. really was the origins of American history, we were able to come and bring back something mm-hmm. that perhaps we feel needs to be rekindled in England. Yeah. And in rekindling that passion for God and the mm-hmm. truth of his word, we've seen, you know, men raised up in the fellowship, women raised up in the fellowship, serving God, loving God. And the two pastors who will be leading the church initially will be English pastors, and the church will continue on. We just feel like God's giving us a burden back to our home country to almost return as missionaries back to our home country, because I think we all know America's in a different place today. And there's a great need for lives to be restored there.
And on that note, actually, Tiffany, you know, is it going to be the same now that you're going back? Do you know what you're going back to?
No. You know what?
So again, it's another faith.
It is. It's another faith move. It's really not a lot different, except, you know, in the circumstance, in the sense that there's a call.
Yeah.
We've been given. We have peace that God will go before us again.
Yeah.
And the steps of faith, the incredible relationships we've built here, the family.
Yeah.
It's really family
that
we have. So we're leaving pieces of our heart, which is hard, but we will always be connected in that way, mm-hmm. and not only here on earth but also for eternity mm-hmm. because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, and that there's so much hope in that. So I know whatever tomorrow brings, that's safely in God's hands, and I'm excited about the journey. I'm excited because
you've seen it before.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And although there's hardship and there's tears and there's
lonely, it's bittersweet,
all the things, it's wonderful because I know that I serve a good God.
That's right.
He is always good.
Oh, my goodness. It's been lovely to have you in and to talk about all of this. And so just remind us where you regularly meet. And do you have any contact details that people can get involved if they want to, you know, ask any
questions?
Absolutely.
Well, Calvary Cambridge we meet on the grounds of the Cambridge University Press. We meet on Sundays. It's right past the train station off of Hills Road, Brooklands Avenue. You head into the Cambridge University Press. We meet there at 10 a.m. on Sundays. You can find all of our information on our website, which is calvarycambridge.uk. And we just want to really, for all the listeners out there, just encourage people. You know, it's Easter coming up. What do you have to lose? To really ask good questions again. Yeah. You know, what if God really is the reason why we exist? Mm-hmm. What if God so loved this world that he did give his only son for us? And we would just encourage people to take a look again at their own lives, at the world we live in, and just ask, what do you believe is the hope for the future? Why do you believe it? And so we would encourage people to open up the Bible again, read for yourself, and we welcome you to come out and visit a service at 10 a.m. on a Sunday or in the evening at 6 p.m.
And you've had quite a few events on recently. Have you got any more coming up?
We do. We have a Good Friday service coming up at 12 noon on the Friday before Easter. We're going to be showing the movie Risen in the evening at the Cass Center on the grounds of the Cambridge University Press.
At what time?
That'll be at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Sunday night or Sunday morning Easter celebration in the morning at 10 a.m. And again, an evening service at 6 p.m. that weekend. So we'll be doing a lot of different things. And we just encourage people to consider Jesus loves you. Mm. He cares so much about you.
And is this all on the website as well?
All on the website.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let's do some travel now. And then we're going to wrap this up with another song, which I think you would quite like.